Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS on the final day of 2015. Lots of people looking back on what this year held for us, both good and bad, and the same is true in the world of science. So my next guest, Dr. Arthur Kaplan, has been doing that. He's the Director of Medical Ethics at the New York University Langone Medical Center's Department of Population Health and a regular guest on my show, and I'm happy to have him back on the phone today. Hi, Art. How are you?
Hey, Paul. How are you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I know one of the things that you have been writing about recently has been a two-word phrase most Americans are not familiar with, and that is gene editing. What is that?
So each of our cells has DNA in it. You remember back from your high school days, we saw pictures of these little double helixes. Well, all of the DNA that makes us who we are is contained in every cell, and it's contained in the embryo that turned into a fetus and then turned into us eventually. Gene editing means trying to change the letters in that DNA to fix errors or to try and get improvements. You can do it in plants, you can do it in animals, and you can do it in us. Some listeners may have heard of efforts to do something called gene therapy, try to repair a genetic condition in the cells of our bodies. Gene editing is now starting to look toward correcting things that are erroneous in embryos that lead to diseases. The big difference is those are going to be passed on from us to our children, to their children. It's crossing into a new area where we start to modify our heredity.
Okay, so a woman gets pregnant, and she goes to the doctor, and the doctor does all the tests, and they find out, okay, you are pregnant, but there is something wrong with your child. Maybe it's that the kid is going to have cystic fibrosis or Down syndrome or something like that. You're telling me they're going to go in to the embryo's cells and edit the genes in there to fix that kid?
Yes. So as crazy, as remarkable, as frightening, as exciting as this may sound, a lot of diseases are just one typo in our DNA, cystic fibrosis, Tay-Sachs, the breast cancer that Angelina Jolie has that led to her having to have her breast removed and her ovaries taken out. She could prevent that from happening to her daughter or her granddaughter by editing that out of the embryo. So amazing precision is now around with gene editing. By the way, get rid of the animal diseases the same way, too. Hip dysplasia, say, in shepherds or collies.
Okay, so what's the controversy about this? This sounds like it's all going to accrue to the public good.
Well, I think there are two real controversies here. One, in order to perfect the technique, we're just at the start of it, you're going to have to experiment on embryos, and there are certainly people who would say, you can't do that, you're going to destroy human embryos, that's killing, that's wrong. So we have the controversy that comes about whenever anyone proposes to do research on an embryo. The other big issue is, okay, it's great to fix diseases, but aren't parents going to start to say, hey, wait a minute, I like a taller, faster, smarter, stronger kid. Can you do that for me? And that takes us toward the key word there is eugenics. Are we going to try and build better babies, not just fix them, but improve them?
How do you regulate that?
Well, right now we have no regulation, so the market would regulate it, and that means that the rich would get it. And when people say to me, do you think parents would try to do that? I have to laugh. You know, if you go down and looked at the information you get, if you went to a sperm bank or someone was selling you eggs, they're always telling you, well, if you're going to have to use a sperm donor, you might as well use one that's 6'5" and a mathematician and a pro tennis player and blah, blah, blah. You know, they're picking traits to make a better baby.
Yep.
So the demand is there. There's no doubt about that.
Okay.
I think we should not stop the technology. That's what's being proposed now, just saying we can't go any further because it might get abused. I don't want to hold all those people with diseases hostage, but I think you got to draw a line and maybe say only for diseases, not for improvements.
Okay. You know, the thing that caught me here was when you said you want to make sure it's not just for the rich. Can we do that by saying, okay, instead of it being privately funded by having people reaching into their own pockets, what about if all of us as taxpayers, if all of us collectively reached into our pockets and had government through maybe the NIH or some other group funding this sort of thing, and that way you make sure it is for the public common good?
If you ban it and say no government money, you're going to throw it right into the marketplace and do the opposite of what you're suggesting. That's why I think it's so important that government fund this. It may sound a little counterintuitive because people are going to say, well, it could go off the rails. Best chance to regulate it, best chance to control it and push it in directions that we want and make it available to everybody is to have a key government role in it. That's how we regulate. If you, in the United States, if you pull funding out, then it's just a market activity and the rich are going to get it and the poor won't.
Isn't this the same argument we had several years ago about stem cells?
A little bit. Stem cells certainly are hopeful in that you want to try to inject them into people who are paralyzed or have other diseases where cells don't grow back, but it does involve embryo destruction in order to do that research. So that got us into a huge war. The way that resolved, by the way, is some states allow it, some states don't, but private companies are very busy in this area because of the withdrawal of federal funding in large measure.
Okay, now what about the rest of the world? Because the United States does not operate, is not the only one operating in this bioethical area.
China sees this as a hugely important area to grow, to modify animals, try and make them healthier, try and see if they can get them to produce more meat or wool or whatever they want. So they're going full bore. This will happen because they're absolutely in it. European countries absolutely can do it, although they tend to have been more government-driven and more regulated from the start than we are. But, yep, if you said to me, well, all right, is this really going to happen if we don't do it? I'm going to say yes. It may come a little later, but it's going to happen anyway.
And if it does happen in other countries, that, again, leaves it open for the rich people in this country who do want to modify their kid going overseas and doing exactly that.
100%. 100%. That is absolutely what will happen. If we're not in this game and we're not trying to regulate how it's done and we're not trying to ensure that there's some subsidy so that anyone who chooses to use it to repair diseases can do so, it's going to be a big international medical tourism kind of activity.
Seems to me like this is a tool that we can use to eliminate passing on diseases from generation to generation to generation. It seems immoral not to do that.
You know, saying we're not going to do it at all because we worry about it going off the tracks, I think just holds people who are sick and vulnerable hostage, as I said. You can't really ethically say, well, we're not going to fix your sickle cell or your cystic fibrosis or
your Crohn's.
Your Crohn's disease or your prostate cancer, your breast cancer, because we're worried it might go wrong. No, that's the wrong place to draw the line. I agree.
Very well said. I'm glad you brought it to our attention, Art. It's always a pleasure, and I hope you have a happy new year. Thank you. Art Kaplan is the Director of Medical Ethics at the NYU Langone Medical Center and a regular contributor to my show through the years. I'm always happy to have him on here.